I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Epic game last night. The Dodgers advanced to the NLCS 2-1 victory over the Giants. Oh, what a game. What a game. I was afraid it was going to be a game like that. It was a game like that. And the Dodgers, of all people, Cody Bellinger. Cody Bellinger is the guy that hits the go-ahead single in the ninth inning, and then Max Scherzer, who saw that coming, comes in for the save. Ireland, I know you were sort of divided attention last night, but that was an unbelievable game.
So the Dodger game actually took longer than the Laker game, even though the Dodger game started an hour earlier. So in other words, Dodger game starts at 6,
yep.
Laker game starts at 7, I do the whole Laker game, and when we sign off, Max Scherzer's coming in.
Nice.
Wait. Stop. Ireland, you need to apologize.
Oh, yeah,
happily.
Right.
Happily apologize. I like Kenley Jansen, the guy. He just makes me nervous. But he was great in this series. I don't think Turner let that guy on base. I don't blame Kenley for that. But was when Scherzer was pitching,
that
right?
Was Scherzer, yeah.
Didn't
yeah,
Kenley go 1-2-3?
Yeah, Kenley went 1-2-3.
Yeah, I do apologize to Kenley Jansen.
Just a monster year.
For that game to live up to the hype and then actually probably exceed it.
Yep.
1-1 going to the ninth. And Cody Bellinger, do you guys realize Bellinger was 2-for-48 against the Giants this year?
Yep.
2-for-48. And he saves his season with one swing. And I'm happy for Bellinger. I'm happy for the Dodgers. I know we're going to talk about the fact that it ended on a check swing that wasn't a check swing, but you know that's the way it goes. Here's something that's interesting though about that. I'm anti review replay. I would get rid of replay in all sports.
Sure,
but if you have it, why is anything not reviewable? For example, when the Rams had that play against the Saints.
Right.
That should have been reviewable.
Yeah, now it is.
Last night, that swing should have been reviewable. I think Scherzer would have got him out anyway. That guy was 0-for-18 against Scherzer.
And he was at an 0-2 count.
Yeah, but the game shouldn't end like that. Why not, if you're using replay, why not make everything reviewable?
Well, here's the problem with the check swing. There really is no, and I heard this on Buster Olney's podcast, there really is no definition of what a check swing is. The rule book is very, very, very hazy about it. And so it's a hard one to review. It is an absolute judgment call. It was the wrong call. It should have been a ball. I thought Wilmer Flores did check his swing, but if you read the rule book, it is very, very confusing and unclear of what a check swing actually is.
Right, but you're arguing semantics. I'm arguing common sense. Any baseball fan who saw that would say, yeah, he didn't go. I mean, both the announcers said he didn't go. And what's weird is, and this is where baseball is kind of funny, there was a game in July where Darren Ruff did the opposite. He completely went around.
Yep.
And it was a 3-2 pitch by Jansen.
And they didn't give it to him.
And they said, no, he didn't swing. That walked in a run to tie the game at 3, and then Jansen blew the game.
Yep.
And so that game, that one win, gave the Giants the season series. It gave them home field. And so they had advantages because of a bad check swing call, and then the Dodgers win it on a bad check swing call.
Jorge just said, you live by the check swing, you die by the check swing.
Yeah, I hope it doesn't overshadow what an unbelievable game it was.
I honestly don't think that was just an
It will for
game.
Them. It doesn't for us because we won.
I'm sure San Francisco radio is going nuts right now over that check swing.
Right, any Giant fan would be, and they have a case. I mean, it was a trip, but –
Oh, no. Feel so bad. Oh.
But the bottom line is...
I do, too. I feel so sorry.
It was
him.
Whoever was going to figure out a way to push a runoff late. And the Dodgers did. And boy, how about Mookie Betts going 4-for-4 in the biggest game of his career?
I mean, unbelievable.
Just that's why you pay that guy all that money.
I've got actually a crazy Mookie Betts stat here. Give me a minute to find it. Mookie Betts is 13-for-24 in elimination games since coming to the Dodgers. And remember, last year they had a number of elimination games.
Right,
they were
down
to the 3-1. Braves 3-1 in the NLCS. So 13-of-24 in elimination games. That's why you make the big bucks.
And you got to admit, man, you kind of staked your claim to it that the Knebel thing was going to work. I hated it. I hated it while it was going on. They almost hit two home runs off him in the first inning, but it worked.
And because it worked,
if you hated it like I did, like Bill Plaschke did, like Dylan Hernandez is, you got to admit, the Dodgers pulled something off that may have impacted the game.
Yep.
And as it turned out, they only got 4 innings out of Urias, which was weird. He pitched 3, 4, 5, 6, right?
Yep, 3, 4, 5, 6. He threw 4 innings. I mean, if you had this on your bingo card, that it was going to go, it's going to go. In order, Knebel, Gratterall, Julio for 4, Trinan, and then Kenley, and then Max Scherzer. If that was your bingo card, you won the big prize because I don't think anybody saw that coming. Now, we had a very interesting – John, you were on it, but you were doing the game. We had a very interesting group text chain going throughout the night. Making predictions and saying this is going to happen and that's going to happen as we went along. And at one point, I somehow put us all on FaceTime. So I look at my phone and there's Jorge and there's Bergman. And I'm like, why are you guys calling me right now?
Why are you calling me?
Why are you calling us?
That's exactly what happened. John, could you actually see it? Like, did you see that was going on?
No, I noticed it after the fact. It was funny. I had to plug my phone in.
Yeah.
I mean, because you guys were sending so many texts during this game. I was guilty in the first hour before the Laker game started. I was like the lead instigator. But
you were screaming at instigator.
I hated the Knebel thing. I wanted him out the minute that Posey hit that ball deep into the gap. I thought, this is a disaster. Get him out. Go get Urias. And you know what? Both Knebel and Gratterall let guys get on base, but they both got out of it. It was just such a great pitcher's duel. Logan Webb was unbelievable.
Oh, Logan Webb was unbelievable.
Gavin Lux made some plays in center. We were worried about that.
He made one play in center, John, where he sort of laughed at Mookie, and he said after the game, yeah, I told Mookie, we're okay now that I've made this catch, because he got comfortable out
there. Such a great game, and, there's so much to unpack here. First of all, I hope baseball fixes it. That should have been the National League championship.
So you are in favor of seeding the playoffs.
I just want them to do what the NBA does. Just do it by record.
Okay, but we wouldn't have we were the wild card.
Right.
So once the wild card game is over, then you reseed?
No, you reseed including the wild card. At the end, do what the NBA does. At the end of it, Giants were the 1, Dodgers were the 2. And the team with the next best record's the 3. And you just seed by record. That values the regular season. That, you know, the Dodgers were punished. And by the way, the Dodgers are going to Atlanta tomorrow.
Yeah.
They're flying there today.
Well, when you're the wild card team, that means you're the road team throughout.
Now, the weird thing is, if they make it to the World Series, it's strictly based on record, so they would have home field. No matter
who. Now, if the Red Sox go to the World Series, don't we have home field advantage then?
No, we even have home field advantage if the Astros go.
Well, they won their division, but weren't the Red Sox a wild card
team?
Doesn't
matter. World Series is based on record. So
we have a better record than the Red Sox.
We have a better record than the Astros.
We were both wild card teams.
Right, but we have a better record than the Astros.
No, I'm saying, though, in the case of the Astros, they're the home team. In the case of the Red Sox,
no,
aren't we the home
team? You're incorrect. You're jumping to a conclusion that's incorrect.
Correct.
If the Astros and Dodgers both win these next two series, game 1 of the World Series is at Dodger Stadium.
Correct.
You understand that, right?
No, even though, I don't understand that.
Okay, because once the World Series comes around,
then it's record.
Correct.
Okay, got it.
So the Dodgers will be the road team against Atlanta. Atlanta has home field. Yet when the World Series happen, if the Dodgers beat the Braves, they're home field no matter who comes out of the American League.
Boy, that's a huge swing.
Right.
That's a big deal.
But what I'm arguing, and Greg, I'm curious if you agree, is that starting next year, I mean, they need to deal with this in the offseason. Just take the NBA model and put it in baseball. So it would be the same exact teams that make it, but then seed them based on record. And that way we would have got the Dodgers and Giants
I will go further, John. I think that baseball wants to expand the playoffs to eight teams.
Well, either way, just expand it on record.
The first round being three-game series, which is what they did during the bubble year.
Right. And I would have no problem with that. It gives more product to their TV partners, which everybody will like. And it's more games for us. Playoff baseball is great.
Now, Bergman, I heard you groan.
Yeah, no, I don't want to expand it. I think it's how it is right. Having the one-game playoff is right. Having the wild card way to go.
Would you sign off on my plan to seed everything by record like they do in the NBA?
Fully endorse it to the fullest. I also think that what people are going to detract of and say, what's the point of divisions then? What do divisions don't matter then? No, they shouldn't matter.
No, because the Dodgers still would have had to play in the wild card game.
Even with the second best record?
Yes.
No.
Yeah,
right.
According
no,
to John,
no, no.
he would
no,
want
right,
them to still right. play in the wild card.
No. Divisions don't matter. They don't matter at all, actually. So yeah. as long well, as like, you have the best records, go
do you
to...
you know, I mean, I, most people don't even know who wins the divisions
no.
in the NBA.
No, they do not. I think the divisions are completely meaningless. It doesn't even affect seeding anymore.
You know what divisions are for? They're for making sure that you play teams that are close to you. Playing the Rockies.
Right,
playing
geographically.
Yeah, geographically, making sure that you play like the Padres and the Giants. Sure, totally fine. You can still do that. Just divisions don't mean anything.
There were so many twists and turns in that game last night that were great. For example, I think the Dodgers learned from a mistake they made in the first inning. Mookie singles,
yep.
and he's sitting on first base, and I text all you guys, perfect time for a steal. Both Seager and Trey Turner ground into a lot of double plays. Let's stay out of the double play, move him to second.
And Trey Turner hit into the double play.
Right. And then later, when Mookie got on, he stole. And then did you see Chris Taylor did what I was asking for? He tried the squeeze.
Brutal.
And it
just
didn't
brutal.
Work. And the thing I didn't like about that particular
brutal
squeeze.
Brutal call.
Well, the thing I didn't like about that particular squeeze was because all you needed was a sack fly.
Right.
I thought they should have let Taylor
score. It was a totally wasted out. I wondered if Seager... I'm sorry, Seager, if Taylor did it himself.
Maybe.
I wonder if he did it himself. Because he was hitting the ball. It's much easier to hit a fly ball to left field for Chris Taylor than it is to lay down a perfect safety squeeze. And that was a safety squeeze, not a suicide squeeze.
Right.
So I thought that was a terrible spot for that. And a completely wasted out in a situation where they had runners at first and third and one out.
By the way, we'll let you guys react to that. It'll be a reaction Friday. 877-710-ESPN. 877-710-3776. Mace?
Yes?
Have you had any correspondence, either verbal or via electronic mail or text, with not Stepdad Leo?
I have. All Stepdad Leo said was, good luck to dem bums against Atlanta. That's all he said.
Yeah, by the way.
So he was a good sport about it.
He didn't watch.
Dave Roberts came out and said he's putting Scherzer in as the starter tomorrow anyway.
Is that official?
I think so. He said it after the game. That was
because you could have gone Gonsolin. You could have gone Scherzer. Scherzer only threw 13 pitches last night. He'll be coming back on 2 days' rest. But 13 pitches is basically a bullpen session.
Right.
So I hope they come back with Scherzer. But I don't know if that's a – I couldn't find that as an official announcement, at least as of yet.
His plan was to stick with Scherzer.
Yep, Bill Plunkett, right, 14 hours ago. Dave Roberts said plan is still to start Max Scherzer in NLCS game one Saturday.
Okay. There you go. And you got to feel good about that. Scherzer in games 1 and 5. I'm assuming
now this
Bueller...
is a 7-game series, by the way.
Correct. Now we go 7. So Bueller in 1. I'm sorry. Scherzer in 1 and 5. Bueller in 2 and 6. And Urias in 3 and 7.
Right.
With that game 4 being Gonsolin, I assume.
Maybe. Or do what they did last night.
Yeah, Gonsolin be the bulk pitcher. Jorge, now you're a huge Julio fan. How did you feel about the way things went last night?
Oh, man, I just saw him. He was patiently waiting. He was calm. He was collective. He was just waiting. He was like a bulldog in the bullpen, feel me? Like back and forth, just pacing back and forth and just watching. He was just ready. When he got in trouble after the home run, I was like, okay, now I'm nervous. Let's take him out. But you know what? Our team got it done, man.
Absolutely got it done. So how do you feel about the opener strategy now? I went all in on this thing. And I went on the record yesterday. I said, literally, I'm going on the record. I love using Knable as the opener and still throwing Urias the bulk of the game. It will set up better matchups for late in the game. And that's exactly what happened. It did set up better matchups for late in the game as he adjusted his lineup. Kapler adjusted his lineup somewhat. But then again, for Urias, Giants had fewer weapons at their disposal when Blake Treinen, Kenley Jansen, and Scherzer came into the game. So it worked in that perspective. That was the reason for the opener altogether. The Giants were the best team in baseball at getting platoon advantages. That, from the perspective of the opener, that was really the reason to do it, and it absolutely worked. How do you feel about it now? How did you watch the game last night? How are you feeling about the Braves? 877-710-ESPN. It is a celebration Friday. 877-710-ESPN. Mason in Ireland, this is 710-ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
A little nugget to throw out there is there's a lot going on. The Giants versus the Rams at the Meadowlands on Sunday. Daniel Jones has been cleared to play. Saquon Barkley is out. Kenny Golladay is out. And Sterling Shepard is still questionable. So a couple of nuggets there about the Rams. I won $20,000 mythical dollars last night in the Dodgers. And I've got $20,000 mythical dollars on the Rams minus the 9.5 on Sunday at the Meadowlands. So I'm betting big now, Ireland. I'm betting big.
Well, that game was so worth it. I can't believe how close it was with everything on the line. Normally you don't get that. And the Dodgers are pretty great in games that, you know, in swing games. Like, remember the game in Milwaukee they won in a game 7?
Sure.
They won, I think, in Atlanta last year when they were down.
They did.
I mean, they're great in these situations.
Yeah, and no, Bellinger, they've been great in elimination situations.
Bellinger. I mean, good for him.
You know, when he came up, I still didn't have faith. I said to Juan, oh, Cody. I just said, oh, Cody. And he comes through, and the one thing I thought right away was he choked up. He choked up. He was playing for a single, and apparently that was the approach all night long. Gavin Lux said after the game that the hitting instructor, I think it was Robert Venskoyak, said, let's kill him with singles. Let's kill him with singles. And it was all singles except the one double for Corey Seager.
Right.
They killed him with singles last night as opposed to swinging for the fences on every at-bat.
Hey, Bergman.
Yeah, what's up?
Are you the one typing the calls onto the screen?
I am.
Line one, Jimmy. What city do you think he is in?
Harupa.
Harupa?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that an actual – is that how you spell it?
How do you spell it?
Yeah, spell it for me, John.
You wrote, Greg, J-U-R-U-P-A.
Yep.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah,
where
that's
is
right.
It?
That's east side, on the east side, heading east.
It's East L.A.?
No. Heading east, like towards Riverside, past all that.
Yeah, okay, it's like Riverside.
Off the 91?
Towards Morongo. No, off the by
right, well,
10th.
Well, Jimmy can tell us.
Yeah,
Jimmy,
well, yeah. Hey, nice job calling me out for nothing.
No, I've never heard of it. Jimmy,
it's all good.
Did Bergman pronounce your city correctly? It's Yurupa?
Hurupa.
And he actually asked me about it, too, so he got it right.
All right, good. What'd you think?
First, apologies to Mason. I was down on Kenley as well, but I kept hope for Cody. So I knew he would show up in the playoffs. he's been all right in the playoffs, but he's always had clutch hitting, and that's what he did again this series. You know, in general, he's had a couple of great hits. So real, real happy about that. And as for the opener, I think everybody signed off on that, including Urias. So if he had said no, they would have gone with him to start the game. So it was an all-around effort. I'm really happy and looking forward to Atlanta. And awesome, one last thing.
Yeah.
I think that the division should just be a guarantee to the playoffs. That's it. And we should just reseed everything. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thanks, Jimmy. Thanks,
yeah,
Jimmy and Harupa.
I'm with Jimmy on that.
Yeah, the thing about Bellinger, and I think we're seeing this, by the way, with Kike Hernandez and with Jock Peterson, who we're going to see in the NLCS because he's down in Atlanta. The postseason is different. Having been in the postseason does make a difference. Being part of a winning organization that has been there over and over again does make a difference. It makes a difference with Jock in Atlanta, makes a difference with Kike in Boston, obviously makes a difference with Cody Bellinger. He had a really good series. I think he had 4 hits and 3 RBIs in the series. It makes a difference having had success in the postseason. The one guy I was scared of, the one guy I was surprised at, is that I think JT was 1-for-21 in the series.
1-for-20.
1-for-20. There you go.
And had a very uncharacteristic error in the ninth.
Yeah, and had a big error. Exactly. Exactly. Let's go out to Tom in Santa Barbara. Tom, you're on 710. What's up, man?
Hey, guys. How's it going? Just 2 quick points. One, regarding the strategy, one of the things I heard a little bit on Travis Lewa earlier today was they kind of flipped the game. Instead of being, hey, Urias only went 4 innings, now we've got to go 5 straight innings with a reliever, I would have been even more nervous than I was. But getting through those first 2 innings, getting us to the 7th, I thought it flipped the game. My second point was on the check swing. Couple things to remember. Their stadium, to me, is not like bright like Dodger Stadium. Hmm. It's kind of dark. And the guy had a black bat, and he did a really, really quick check swing. And don't forget that umpire is over 110, 120 feet away, 40 yards, yeah, in kind of a dark atmosphere with a black bat. It looked blurry to me in the replay. So how can he tell?
Wait a minute. So you're saying in the replay you thought it was the right call?
On the replay, when they slow-mo it, it's obviously the wrong call. And even that umpire said in a quote today, at real time, I thought he went. And then in the replay, I realized he probably didn't. They never admitted they were wrong. But the key is, he's 40 yards away. It's kind of a darkly lit stadium with a dark backdrop, a black bat, and it was a quick twitch check swing. And to me, when they showed it at real time on the replay, I'm like, well, that's blurry. I could see how he'd get confused with that.
Right. Well, we can argue the specifics of it, but they missed that call.
It was the wrong call. It was the wrong call. But in real time, it's a tough call to make.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. Have a good day, guys.
See you.
All right, you too, man. You too. Yeah, but we will not – I don't think that check swing, right or wrong call, and it was the wrong call, defines the game. I mean, he was 0-2. There was a runner on first after the JT error, but he was not – Max Scherzer was going to retire. He was going to retire Wilmer Flores.
Yeah,
so
Wilmer Flores was over 17 against Max Scherzer in his career. That wasn't the reason. You still have to score runs. What we talked about with the Dodgers for the entire series, they had to put up runs, and they only got 2, but still the Giants weren't putting up runs. In games 2, 3, 4, and 5, they put up – 2 runs, 1 run, 2 runs, 1 run. They weren't scoring.
Yeah, they weren't scoring. And I love the attitude that the Dodgers went into it that Gavin Lux talked about after the game last night, which is kill him with singles. It's a great way to go. That's sort of the golf analogy. Put your driver in the bag and hit your 5-iron, hit your 7-iron. You can choke up a little bit and go with a 2-strike approach on the first pitch. That's what Cody Bellinger did in that game last night, and that's why we won the game.
I think that you can it sounds a little like you guys are rationalizing that call at the end. You can't say, like, Cody Bellinger was 2-for-48. against the Giants, and he delivered. So Wilmer Flores might have gotten a hit. You never know. But even if he did, there was only a runner on first. I just think it's a bad way to end an unbelievable series. And if in my opinion, if you have replay, and I'm against it. Mason, I've come over to your side on this.
Yeah.
I would eliminate replay completely. I think it's a pain in the ass. But if you have it, I think use common sense and make everything reviewable. I don't want to ever hear the phrase again, it's not reviewable. You should make everything reviewable. If it helps you make the right call, use it.
Hey, Mace, how are you feeling when Lamont Wade Jr. was up and there was one on?
Scared as hell.
And he jacked that ball down there right by the right field foul pole.
Yeah. Oh, you know, they call him Late Night Wade. You know that, right?
Late Night Lamont. And Scherzer started out with him 2-0 and then threw that breaking ball, which really defined the at-bat. And I thought from the point he threw that breaking ball and got the count to 2-1, I felt a lot better about it. But at 2-0, hitter's pitch, I was really, really worried because you saw all the stats they put up about Late Night Lamont, probably the best pinch hitter in all of baseball this year, judging by those numbers. And yes, I was absolutely nervous, and I stood up and yelled when he hit that long fly ball down the line and scared the hell out of Fredo and Sophie. Fredo immediately scattered and went under the bed. And I looked at Juan and said, that would have been the game-winning home run.
Yeah, it would have been the biggest swing in San Francisco Giants history.
It would have been Bobby Thompson shot heard round the world level hit.
Yep.
All right, more of your calls coming up. We'll touch on some other stuff. John, I want to hear about the Lakers game a little bit, and we'll get that in there too. And we'll spin the wheel of questions. We'll do that. Ireland, we've got a fun wheel today, right?
I don't know. You never know what the wheel's going to say.
Never know what it's going to say, exactly. So we will spin the wheel coming up next for you. It is a celebration Friday. It is an effort Friday. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
What a day, what a day, what a day, what a day. The Dodgers advance to the NLCS. Game one is tomorrow, and Max Scherzer, who got the save last night, will be on the mound for the Dodgers versus lefty Max Fried, which is interesting because that means Cody Bellinger probably won't be in the lineup. Gavin Lux probably won't be in the lineup. We may see Albert Pujols in the lineup tomorrow.
That'd
against the lefty Max Fried. It'll be a completely different lineup as the Dodgers have to flip everything around. All right, it is time to spin the wheel of questions right now. The wheel of questions is brought to you by our friends at Puente Hills Toyota. If you've got a car just sitting around not being used, bring it to Puente Hills Toyota today for an instant cash offer. Puente Hills Toyota is the house of yes. All right, Jorge, let's give it a spin.
Ooh. All right. This one is a mind bender.
Oh, mind bender. Okay, good.
Is it fun?
Yeah.
Okay.
Can be. Depends if you how you answer it. All right, here it is. A time traveler comes to you from the year 2031. That's 10 years from now.
Okay.
He can answer any question about you. You are allowed to ask him one and only one yes or no question. What do you ask him?
And it's got to be about you. I can't say, like, who wins the Super Bowl in such and such a year, so I bet all my money on it.
Correct. Jorge, what do you want to know about Jorge Briones in 2031?
Oh, man. All right, just to keep it fun, okay? I want to keep it fun.
do I buy another Harley? Since I already sold mine.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah. Fair enough. Bergman?
This has been something I've been talking about with some people around me recently.
Seriously? You've been talking about this particular thing?
This particular question. Yeah, I actually... No, I would want to know, do I own a home? I live in Los Angeles where it's impossible to own a home. Do I own a home?
Okay.
Yeah, but the weird thing about that question, Greg, is you should say, but then you wouldn't really get an honest answer. What if you added the prepositional phrase, do I own a home in Southern California?
Oh, see, that's a whole nother ball of wax.
You could own a home, but you may have had to move to like Nevada to get it.
Oh, that's true.
So you might want to add, I'll just throw that out there. You might, but maybe you don't want to know that. Maybe you just want to know if you're still paying rent.
Exactly. Am I putting money into something that's mine?
Mace, what do you want to know? Steve Mason, you're 2031. What do you want to know?
What station will I be working at?
That's not a yes or no question, Mace.
Yeah, it's not a yes or no.
It's got to be a yes or no question.
So you could ask, am I still on the air someplace?
Yeah, am I still on the air someplace? That's a good way to phrase it. Am I still on the air someplace?
Not at ESPN?
No, anywhere. Anyway, I just want to be on the air somewhere when it's 2031.
10 years
from now.
Okay, so I think the question, I don't know if this would be cheating, but if you're the parent of a special needs kid, like any special need parent like me, would say, does Jack find his way? In other words, like, is he like working on his own? Is he doing anything? But that's kind of cheating the question because it's not technically about me. So I think the question I would ask is, in 10 years, I'll be 68.
Yeah.
Am I healthy? In other words, am I capable of doing all the things that I can do now? Because if I am, then I'll relax. But if the answer to that question is no, man, I'm going on a bucket list trip or something. I'm like, you know, like, yeah, I want to get in everything I've ever wanted to do. I'll do it now. I won't put it off anymore. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I thought you would have asked, am I still the voice of the Lakers?
No, that's a long shot.
You think that's that's not a long shot?
10 years? Yeah.
10 years?
Well,
play-by-play announcers go on forever.
Yeah, but it depends. A lot can change. So you never know with that. But... the last four guys I've gone longer than the last four.
Yeah, you're
so
established.
Already. So, I mean, that would be, I'd feel very fortunate if that, although Stu is still going.
Sure.
You know, Stu Lance is still going. By the way, all right, so Lakers last night.
Yeah.
This was the first game where a road team had come into Sacramento. It was their first one. Our game ended. Our game started at 7. It ended a little before 9:30. What time you guys think I got home? Take a guess.
You mean including flying back from Sacramento?
Flying back, getting in my car. What time did I walk?
3 a.m.
It wasn't that bad, but it was close.
1 a.m.
2:15.
1:25 a.m.
Oh, is that terrible?
It's terrible. You think about it. If the game ends at 10:30 or at 9:30, you should be able to pack up, get out of there, be in the air by 10:30, home by 11:30, or land at 11:30, be home by midnight. It just was, they were screening people left and right because they had never done TSA before, because this was, you know, the first trip since the pandemic. And, patience is going to be a virtue this year. It was
super
long. But I was encouraged by the game. Westbrook played really, really well. Frank Vogel did a kind of a cool thing. At the end of the game, he put in all the guys that the Lakers cut today. The Lakers made a bunch of cuts today. And so he played guys like Trevelyan Queen and Cameron Oliver and Chandi Brown. And, you know, because it might be their last chance ever to play.
Did Austin Reeves make the team?
Yeah, Austin Reeves on the team. Austin Reeves, Mace, is going to play. He played 30 minutes last night, and he's good. He didn't have his three-pointer, and he's had it for most of the season. Austin Reeves is going to get, like, regular minutes. But the best thing, here was Westbrook's line. 7 out of 12 from the field. He missed some free throws. He was 3 of 6 from the free throw line. But he had 3 rebounds, 5 assists, and 18 points. LeBron had 30. Had 30 points, 6 rebounds, 6 assists in 29 minutes. And AD had a double-double, 14 and 12. AD didn't have a shot. He was 5 for 18 from the field. But this was the first time I looked at the big three and went, okay, that's going to be hard for other teams to defend. And Westbrook was super aggressive. So even though they ended up losing by 4, but he didn't play the best guys at the end, this was the first time I thought, okay, that's what I thought the Lakers would look like. So now we fast forward to Tuesday for the opener.
How does AD look this year? Because he's been playing in almost every game, hasn't he?
He missed the first one, I think.
Okay, maybe. But then,
no, you're right, Greg. He played in it.
So, but he doesn't seem to have a shot at all throughout the entire preseason.
He had a lot of shots he normally makes, rim in and out, like runners at the rim. I'm not worried about him.
Okay, that was the question. Are you worried about him at all and coming into the season with
these
guys?
I'm not. I would have liked to have seen them shoot better from three in the preseason, but the guys who were shooting well from three, the guys like Malik Monk and Kendrick Nunn, didn't play towards the end. I think we're going to get Monk and Nunn back for the opener. I don't know who starts. I kind of like Bazemore starting because he's a big guard who plays defense and can shoot threes. And last night they started Bazemore at the two guard and DeAndre Jordan at center and let AD play the four. I might lean a little towards AD at the five and Carmelo at the four.
Starting?
Yeah, Carmelo was 3 of 4.
Carmelo definitely could start.
Yeah, Carmelo, Greg, was 3 of 4 from three last night. 5 of 8 overall. And the question, I just want to know who can hit open threes. So three.
Well, Bazemore is kind of a double threat because he plays defense and he can hit threes.
Right, but 3 of 4 from three for Melo was a big deal to me. Because here's how I think it's going to go. I think that Westbrook's going to penetrate and draw the defense to him. You can't leave LeBron or AD if you're guarding those guys. So two guys are going to be wide open. Who do you want to give those two spots to? So I'm not disappointed if you give one of them to Melo if he's going to make 3 of 4 from three. But whoever can make threes is going to get a lot of minutes.
I still think when Ellington's healthy, he's going to play a huge role.
Yeah, but he's not. He's not healthy.
And he's not going to be healthy till...
No, he'll be... My guess is he's got a strain. He's got a hamstring strain. My guess is he's out 10 days, but I'm guessing.
So you always say to us that it matters who ends the game and not begins the game, right?
Right.
So do you prefer Melo coming off the bench and finishing games or starting and possibly not finishing?
Well, what you can do, it's a good question, but what you can do is use the first three quarters to figure out who you want to finish with. They're so deep that you can take any guys you want and finish with them. The two biggest concerns I have after watching these six preseason games, and Lakers are the only team that played six. Handful of other teams played five, most played 4 or 3, but the Lakers played 6 and lost them all. The thing, I don't care that they lost them because they played a lot of backups, but
right.
The thing that jumped out at me is I want them to be a little better defensively. Frank Vogel's talked a lot about that, and I want to know who can hit open threes. So if you can give me defense and give me some threes, that's why, to your point, Mace, Bazemore's attractive because he checks both boxes, but if you can make open threes, I'll put up with the fact that you don't defend. That's Melo, Malik Monk maybe. We need somebody who's going to hit threes. Because three, like, we play Golden State on Tuesday. In one of their preseason games, Golden State shot, get a load of this, 68 threes in one game.
Whoa!
Had it been a regular season game, it would have been the second most in NBA history. One of those Daryl Morey Rockets teams took 70 one night as almost a joke. But the rest of the league's going to bomb threes. I want to make sure the Lakers have that club in their bag.
See, what I worry about with the threes is that the last two champions, the Milwaukee Bucks and the Lakers, obviously, they were not good three-point shooting teams.
The Lakers were in the postseason, though.
Yeah, they were good three-point shooting teams when it mattered.
Right, when it mattered. Because a lot of people said whatever they wanted to say about it. But those were not – and the Phoenix Suns and the Milwaukee Bucks, both not good three-point shooting teams and weren't good in the playoffs. So how much is three-point shooting really that big of a deal through all this?
Every year the league keeps going, the three becomes more important, not less. So even though Milwaukee won it last year, and they had some guys who could shoot threes, the main reason they won is because nobody could guard Giannis.
Yep.
And the Lakers have three of those guys that on any given night can take over a game. Defense is, if you look it up, Greg, the Lakers were the number one defensive team last year. Milwaukee was in the top three last year. Teams that lock people up win. So that's not priority one is figure out the defense. Priority two is figure out who can shoot threes. Because the Lakers are going to score. They've got great offensive firepower. how the defense and how the three-point shot goes is probably going to swing a lot of games. And I, by the way, I'm not – they have a – Mace, you point this out a lot. They have a top-heavy home schedule.
Yeah.
I think we need to be prepared to be a little patient here.
I think it's 13 out of the first 17 at home.
Yeah, I originally said they have a really good chance to go 15-5. I don't think that anymore. I think that because they need time to learn how to play together defensively, I keep thinking back to Miami the first year their big three was together. They started 9-8, and then they figured it out and went to the finals. I could see a scenario like that. If the Lakers lose some games early, I'm not going to panic. But if after 20 games they're still losing, then we might have a problem.
Right, right. All right, coming up next for you, and don't forget, Lakers opening night is Tuesday night. It's going to be an interesting night because the Lakers open on Tuesday night at Staples Center against the Golden State Warriors, and the Dodgers will play Game 3 of the NLCS at Dodger Stadium, which is going to be just a traffic nightmare with those two things going on simultaneously. And sort of it's just disappointing that both things are happening at the same time.
It's the fourth Dodger game in a row where I have a Laker conflict.
Wow, wow. All right, we'll get back to some of your phone calls coming up next. I heard Carl Ravage say something really fascinating today on the Buster Olney podcast about the Dodgers and the way they approached that game last night. That's coming up next for you, plus your calls, 877-710-ESPN. Mason Ireland, 710-ESPN.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
All right, so the Dodgers advance to the NLCS with a dramatic 2-1 win at Oracle Park last night over the San Francisco Giants. The heroes included Cody Bellinger, who had the game-winning single in the top of the ninth, and then Max Scherzer, very quick to take a shirt off after games, got the save. That's a new thing. Max Scherzer always takes his shirt off after games.
By the way, do you know that Camilo Duvall, who we talked about earlier in the week?
Yep.
Hadn't given up an earned run since May.
Wow.
When Bellinger got that hit.
Wow.
I mean, it was just so – I'm so happy for him. You realize – I mean, it's almost like something out of the original Space Jam where those guys lost all their talent. Somebody – like Cody wins Rookie of the Year, then he wins MVP, then he hits 158 this season.
Yep.
And comes through in the clutch.
Jorge just got a haircut. Go ahead, Jorge.
He got a haircut after he cut his hair. Everything came back.
It was the opposite of Samson?
Yeah, opposite.
The opposite of Samson, yeah. God, I was superstitious last night. Here's what I did last night. We'll get to your calls here in a minute. So I said after the game I'm going to have Popeye's spicy chicken sandwiches and donuts. So things were not going well. We were locked in a 0-0 game. And I said, okay, we've got to change this up. So I ordered the food and actually started eating it. And the Dodgers scored their first run on the Corey Seager double. So
that was the sixth-inning run.
Yeah, yeah, I ate, actually, through the entire game as opposed to waiting until afterwards, and I believe that's why we won.
All right, so a bunch of people online, including Georgian Downey on line 10, who was at the game last night at Oracle Park. Hey, George, what was it like?
John, it was amazing, dude. I've been to so many games in my life, and yesterday was definitely special. I was at the wild card last week with Chris Taylor. I thought that was like the best game I ever attended. And
so,
then
hey, George, were you in Dodger gear, or did you dress neutral?
Oh, dude, I was all in Dodger blue. It's all over my Twitter feed. I tagged you guys in one of my videos, which is like amazing. I caught the last out. I was like recording like the how the fans were reacting, and just seeing the fans are extremely pissed off, you know?
Yeah, how much Dodger blue is there?
Yeah, it was pretty deep. I mean, we traveled pretty well. There was a lot of fans, actually, and, you know, towards the end, we were the loudest ones at the end.
And what were the Giants fans' reaction after they lost?
Oh, man. Stunned, quiet. Yep. There was a lot of confusion. Like, we were sitting in the – and the benches. I actually didn't see the play because I was like far away, but there was just a lot of confusion. Like, what just happened? And it wasn't until I got into my car that I realized like the play that had just occurred, you know. But other than that, I mean, we had a blast. I had a blast. I'm barely recovering my voice. I got home like at 5 a.m. It was just amazing.
Now, will you go to Atlanta?
I want to. Earlier this year, I did go to Milwaukee. I did go to Chicago for the game. There was a game that was rained out at the Cubs. I was kind of bummed out about that. But let's see. Honestly, like, I don't even know how to top this. I'm still kind of emotionally drained. Like,
yeah.
I don't even know how can you even top this? It felt like a World Series. I mean, I've been to a couple of World Series games, too. Yesterday, again, was just unbelievable. And just one last take. They brought the win, and we took the sunshine, and it was a bad omen, dude.
Awesome.
All right, thanks, George. Appreciate
thanks.
It.
Thanks. I'm, by the way, not going to travel for the NLCS this year. I'm not going to go to Atlanta. I'll go to the World Series, but I'm not going to go to Atlanta for the NLCS.
Here is DeAndre in Torrance on line 7. Hey, DeAndre, you're on 710 ESPN.
Hey, fellas, how you guys doing?
Good, DeAndre.
I'm good. Super excited about the win. Like the last caller said, it's just emotionally draining. On pins and needles. I'm so superstitious. When Cody got his hit, I had switched seats because I was like, if I sit over here, maybe he'll get a hit. And he got the hit. I haven't listened to you guys since the last series because I was like superstitious about that. But
wait a minute, your superstition was to not listen to us? That's not a good superstition.
I didn't listen to any radio. Nothing. I turned it off. I watched Marvel movies until the game, and then I watched the game. So that was about it.
That was your suit. What's your best Marvel movie?
You know what? I'm rewatching them to catch the things that I never caught.
Right.
So I think Black Panther is my number one. I really like Shang-Chi, but now that I'm rewatching them, movies that I didn't quite appreciate, I'm like, wow, this movie is great.
Yeah, by the way, Shang-Chi is excellent. If you've not seen Shang-Chi, Simu Lee, who plays Shang-Chi, is excellent, and that's a really good movie, and he's going to be a great addition to the Marvel Universe. Hey, thanks a lot for coming on. Don't let that be your superstition anymore. Make sure you're glued to your radio.
Yes, sir.
All right, awesome. So Buster Olney, does the Baseball Tonight podcast every day, and I regularly listen to the Baseball Tonight podcast. And Carl Ravitch was on today, and they were talking about this idea of openers and the fact that Andrew Friedman, Dave Roberts went with Corey Knebel and then Buster Grinerell before they ended up going to Julio Urias. And this is what Carl Ravitch said. He said, for a long time, it was 50% analytics and 50% what's in your gut and what your hunches are. He says it's now 75-25 analytics, and the analytics and the data just flat out works. And by the way, we're going to see the Atlanta Braves, an unbelievably heavy analytics team. Just like we just saw Farhan Zaidi and the Giants, we're going to see Alex Anthopoulos, who worked in the Dodgers front office with Andrew Friedman, and that's a heavy analytics team too. So the analytics, although a lot of people hate them and don't believe that's, you know, the way the game should be played, that's the way winning organizations, are actually getting the work done now.
And it'll be interesting to see, you know, how much, because when a game gets tight at the end, sometimes you can't always go with analytics because the GM's not in the dugout. So, but I'm actually surprised it's 75-25. I thought it was more like 90-10, didn't you?
90-10 analytics?
Yeah, now.
I think
ever since
still,
Moneyball.
I think there's still an element of hunch and managing your players late in games.
Yeah, but
particularly
more than 10%?
In certain matchups. What's that?
More than 10%?
Yeah, I think 75-25 feels about right. By the way, that's why Mike Schilt got fired in St. Louis, despite the 17-game winning streak and the fact that the Cardinals came back and made the playoffs and almost won the wild card game. It's because he didn't see eye-to-eye with John Mozeliak on the analytics aspect of things. I mean, if you're going to be that guy, if you're going to be a major league manager now, you either buy into the analytics or you don't have a job anymore.
Right, and I think that that's part of – well, that was actually portrayed in Moneyball. Remember the Art Howe, Billy Bean conflicts?
Yeah.
I was told Art Howe, it wasn't that bad. They kind of drummed it up for the movie, but
sure.
Still, Billy Bean was the one who said, we're going with these analytics, but and if you don't like it, get out. And look at the A's now.
Yep.
They make the playoffs almost – they make it this year, but they almost make it every year.
Yep, they do. All right, coming up next, more of your phone calls. It's a Celebration Friday, And, John, I'm going to do it. I'm officially going to do it. You know what I'm going to do?
No, what?
I will tell you next. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.